Okay. All righty, so thanks for giving me a breather for a moment.
Just don't tell Brad.
No. He'll get over it. Oh, shoot. All right, so if you're recording, I know I was told right away, don't tell Brad that I'm using his mic. So there you go, Brad. It's been broken in. So I've been, for a while now, I've known I was going to teach today, and I've been asking the Lord about what to talk about. And I want to say that what I'm going to say today, I want everybody to know that this is done with a desire to love and encourage you. Nothing I'm teaching here should be taken as condemnation or any form of anything like that. So what we're going to talk about today, and I'm going to get into, are being called, that we have been called, that there is a calling upon us. Brad taught, you remember last week? How many people were here last week? Do you remember Brad talking a lot about the calling and that Jesus had called? He used a number of different forms of that. And so today I'm going to run with a little bit different. I'm losing that thing. So okay. So, and maybe a little bit of a shameless plug for what Bill's doing downstairs in Sunday school right now. He's teaching about studying the Bible, not getting into philosophy, not getting into our theology. He's just breaking it down on how to study the Bible well. So in that line, part of that is to know and understand where to research words. And part of that then, which is frequently used, is a Strong's Concordance. How many of you are familiar with the Strong's Concordance? Seen one? Had your hands on? How many of you use it on a fairly regular basis? Okay. And so a Strong's is like a lot of other good materials that you can have, but it's a breakdown word for word of what's in the Old and New Testament. So there's the Hebrew, which is the Old, and the Greek, which is the New. And so there are assigned numbers given to the words as they're spoken or written throughout the Bible. And on those numbers, then, you can go back and look up and see what was the intent or purpose of that word. How many people know in the English language we've got words that get used a lot of different ways, right? Yeah. All right, so if I use the word loose, I could say, hey, you know, that rope is loose, right? I could say, I need to loose this thing that's bothering me. Totally different meanings, right? Or if I said, that person's got loose character. Boy, we picked up a whole new one, right? Same word appears in writing the same way, but has totally different definitions. So what I'm doing here today and what I want to show is on a call, how that breaks down. So if you'll put up my first slide. Oh, yeah, so I titled this, Answer That Call. I'll be sitting around the house and the phone rings, and it's like, it's annoying, it's loud, it's up, and I holler at Evelyn, would you pick up that call? Most of the time she runs to it, and I'm saying, would you leave the phone alone this time? You know, don't even pick up that call. But the bottom line is, we get a call, we hear the phone ring, whether it's a cell or if it's on our old landlines, especially on the landlines, it was annoying, it's ringing all over the house. And so the first thing you want to do is get to that phone and answer that call. We can turn the volume down if we don't want to hear it. We can turn it way down, especially if we don't want to hear hardly anything at all. And we can mute it completely if we don't want to be bothered. What I'm kind of getting at today is that we're the same way when the Lord's calling us. Well, if we hear him, sometimes it's annoying because it doesn't agree with what we want to do or where we want to walk. Sometimes it's just louder than I want to hear it. I'll shut that down a little bit, and we'll pick it up another day, another time when I'm more willing to listen. And the dangerous thing is when we mute it, and we decide we don't want to hear the Lord at all in that and what he's talking with us about. So we just shut it down, and we move away from what he's trying to get our attention with. Now, that's speaking to us, of course. Not quite the same thing as a calling, but it gets the point across, and this is where I'm going, that it's important for us to be aware of and look for and listen to and answer that call when we have that opportunity. So go ahead and give me the next slide. So up, I hope you can read. Is that readable from the back? Can you see it? Legible, whatever? Can in the back, is that okay? No, not very well? Okay, because this is a test and this was a good thing for everybody else to see. That's in font 28. So if it's not showing up, well, we're going to have to go bigger. Okay, so what I have up here in the top is the word call and called. These are the Strong's definitions for a number of them. The first one at the top is to summons. If I were to call you to come to me, say, hey, Bill, come here. That's a summons. I'm kidding. That's a summons. These are verses that you can look at that would reference them very easily. There's hundreds of them. I just threw a few that make it really clear. So in Mark 7, 14, Mark 3, 23, Acts 13, 2, those are a good example of that. To call to oneself, that's to bring to me. Jesus said, "Bring, you know, I call the little children to come unto me." That's a good example of that. So that, now the G4341 is the Greek number assigned in Strong's for that word. On the second line, it's G5455. The next one would be to describe. I'm going to call that a tree. That's called a car. That's a descriptive word of a noun. So that's the next one, and there's an example also. To say or to speak, I call out. So we all understand what that means. I could call out loudly, but to call out to someone, to yell, which I'm not going to do with this on, would be a good example of that. So then the next one is to name or invite. What happens here very quickly is these start overlapping. And these words get definitions that are very close to the same. You'll look at this and go, well, wait a minute. That one had invite over here on the one, two up. You start looking at this, you'll see that there's a lot of overlap is the best word I know. But to name or invite... That's 2564. Then to gather together, I call my disciples unto me. That would be, it's a different form of the previous one we had before, but that's a gathering of, or I might say, I'll just move on. So the next one then, invite to salvation. This is or a call to office. Like Paul said, I am an apostle. And I've been called to be an apostle, and so that's a call to office. The other part of that is invite to salvation. We are called. That's our heavenly call. That's when we talk about, for example, to receive the inheritance. That's a whole different topic that I won't try to run down that road. But our inheritance being the salvation and the lifelong goal that we're going to have of being in heaven. So that's a invite to salvation, that type of calling. So the next is to seek help, to address, or invoke. I call on the name of God. And so there's a lot, especially Old Testament scriptures that relate to that. So I'm calling on the name of God. So those are versions of the word call. And as we talk about it, or called, as we talk about that, there's a whole gamut of uses of the word. But what I want to go to is on the next slide. So if you'll pull that one up. And this is where we're going. Any better back there? Still too small? So this is Strong's definition. It's 2821. Strong says, from a shorter form of a previous number that we've already covered, says the state of calling implying relationship or task. And then it breaks down the number of occurrences, 11 occurrences, that there are 10 using it as calling and one using it as a vocation, like a job. The Thayer definition, which in most cases always comes with the Strong's when you read it, says a calling, called to, a call or invitation, called to a feast, or of the divine imitation of embrace, to embrace salvation of God. Okay, past the technical stuff. Okay, so if you'll go to the next one, please. So what that one was, and that is 2821 is the word calling. Now, we all have, in some form or another, God has created us, right? He knew us from the beginning, right? Psalm 139:13 says he knew us in our mother's womb, right? So if he knew us, he had a plan for us. Do we have a verse that says anything about having a plan for us? What is it? Anybody tell me? Jeremiah, very good. 29:11, right? It says, I have plans for you. That means everybody sitting in here, God designed with a purpose. And he had a purpose and a plan for what you're going to do. We can spend our whole life walking outside of that plan. We can never touch it whatsoever if we never come before our God and ask. I mean, we might get lucky and hit on it because it's in our nature. That's the next thing I want to say. When God created us, he designed us with a purpose. And when you have things that you love, you go, man, I like this one. At the jail, I used to talk to the guys, and because this really rings home with most of them. I say, you know, you guys love old cars. You want to be a backyard mechanic. You just love tinkering with stuff. That's a natural thing that a lot of guys love doing. And in and of itself, you know, and I've seen obituaries when they say he really loved his cars. He loved working in the backyard, and he'd really love to go with his Chevy, too. But, and so you look at that, and you go, wow, this is something that this guy enjoyed, but used in his own flesh and in his own mind and thinking, it was nothing more than working on a car. And so we go, yeah, he liked that, right? But given in God's economy, this guy could be fixing the widow's cars. And in touching base with what the Lord wants him to do, he would find that more enjoyable than the backyard mechanics he has and the things that he does. So when you look at yourself and you think, I really enjoy doing these things, it isn't wrong. God created you that way. It's funneled maybe in the wrong direction. So again, this is encouragement. I'm not, no condemnation in this. I'm just trying to help you look and think about, wow, for me, what is it I love to do? My wife prayed, and many of you have heard this, she prayed often that I would give up hunting and fishing. Are you spending his time out doing those things? He's not here. And those things, how did he say it to you? Okay, so she said for the recording that the Lord said no and that he had made me a hunter and fisher of men. I do like pursuing in that sense. It's the same thing as when you're a fisherman. You don't have the patience to sit there and wait for that little bite. But as soon as you see it, you're like, oh man, there's that bobber. It bounced. And you're sitting here waiting and anticipating that opportunity. And it goes, wham, set the hook, right? So it's the same way when you have a friend who's really struggling and trying to come to the Lord. You set those little things out there for him. Throw that hook, throw that worm out in front, let him nibble, let him have pieces and part of what's going on. And one day, he's going to bite. And you need to be ready to set the hook because he's going to need somebody to walk with him when he first comes into the Lord. So that's that part, at least, I think is one way of looking at it. And I'm encouraging you that what you have and what you love is not wrong, because God made you and designed you with a purpose and an intent for that to be used in a way that would honor him. So we'll start with some of these scriptures. These are the uses of that word. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. That's a mouthful. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. What's irrevocable mean?
Can't take it back.
He isn't going to take it back. You can shut it down. You can tune it down. You can kick it to the curb. But the God that you have, you love Him, does not take that away from you. Don't believe for a moment that the giftings He gives you are gone. That somehow or another, because you did wrong, that you've lost it. That's not true. Come back to the Father. He will rebuild and restore and bring you back. Corinthians, this one I love. You were just doing this in your singing today, Amy. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 7. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish thing of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. Here it is, if you want to see one. I can't believe that I even stand up here and get to do this stuff. This just blows my mind, because you take me back 10 years and this would be the farthest thing from my imagination. I come unglued before I come up here, because in my own sense and in my own flesh, I'm going to fail. I'm going to have a hard time. But in the Lord, because I do what He's asked me to do, I count on Him for the right words to come out here. Because I can write all the notes I want, and it's going to falter if I'm doing it on my own strength. So let me give you a clue of how this works. You're wondering, I don't even know what my calling is. I don't have the foggiest idea what God wants me to do. Have you asked Him? That's step number one, that you pursue Him and you ask Him about what He has for you and what that calling is in your life. And it may not look at all like you think it's going to. My example would be about 10 years ago, we had a men's group going on, and I went to this and I loved it. I had two great guys in there teaching. One's Ken Kulikowski. And Ken and Paul Latchley were leading this Bible study. It was phenomenal. I was getting so much out of this, I couldn't believe it. Tuesday nights. And then finally one day they said, hey, we can't use this building anymore. I don't know what we're going to do. And I said, well, I'll open my house. You know, you guys can come over to my place and just do your Bible study like normal. And so they did. After a little time goes by, they said, hey, you know, would you mind teaching? I'm like, no way. You know, well, come on, you know, we'll just help you. Maybe you can do a week. We'll just get you into part of the study. We'll give you plenty of time to prepare. And so I did. I did what they wanted. I wasn't sure I wanted, but I did it. And then after a little time goes by, Paul Latchley says, boys, I've been called to do something else, and I have to turn my back from this and go. This is where I'm going. Pray for me. Bless me, please. And man, that was hard, because he was gone, and I thought, poor Ken, he's going to have this all to himself. Well, guess what? Ken says, yeah, and so you can help me, and we're going to start teaching this together. And little by little, Ken starts kind of handing it more and more over to me. And it wasn't too long before Ken says, Jeff, I'm being called somewhere else. And I'm sitting here looking at the wall saying, this isn't working. And I'm thinking, what do I do? Shut this thing down? Am I going to try and run with it? There's no shutting it down. That group of guys was so great. And I didn't want it gone myself. So I ended up teaching that. Well, I taught it for a long time. And it ran its time. It ran the Lord's time. And eventually we shut that down 6-8 years later. But the point of the whole thing is, I had no knowledge, no belief, that there was any room for me to teach or to speak to anybody 10 years ago. And only because I was willing to step out where the Lord presented an opportunity, then He blessed that. He grew that. It became something that was beyond my imagination. I had no idea that it would ever be possible that I would be doing that kind of thing. All right, so let's go to the next one. Next slide, please. So, Ephesians 4:4. There is one body, one spirit, just as also you were called. That's the other version, 2564. In hope of your calling, 28:21. What does that mean? I hope I have a calling? Is that what that means? No, it's not about hoping to have a calling. The calling that you have, the Lord has already desired for you. you can walk in that. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. That word used that way is the high calling, the King James would say, of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, to this end we also pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and the work of faith with power. Good verses on your calling. Go ahead and flip to the next one. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. Holy brethren. If you're in the Lord, you're a holy brethren. If you're in the Lord, you're a saint. Right? We're saints, right? You are a holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. Consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our confession. And so he goes on to tell you that this is something that is tough to do. There's times you're going to suffer, but that's part of our calling. Consider Jesus and what he did. That's what that verse is about. 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, brother, I'm sorry I'm reading. I hate it when people read to me, but since the people in the back can't see it, that's what I'm doing. So 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling. Be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. If he's chosen you, now you got to know that you need to be certain about his calling. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Who's our strength? The Lord's our strength, right? What's he say is going to happen? You will never stumble. All right, I got to tell you about what happened last night. So here we are. Be diligent about certain things. Be diligent and certain about your calling. That's my buddy. Be certain about your calling. So I'm out, and this really cool thing that Tommy Reidenbaugh does. A lot of you know Tommy in here. So Tommy is involved in this thing called Quality Deer Management Association. And these people put on deer hunts for youth that have never hunted. It is cool. And so you end up submitting your request, why you think that this child is going to be a good one for that. And my grandson was asked to apply. And so I helped him with the paperwork. He gets selected. So he gets to go to this. And part of all this was I'm hanging around in this group, and I had no idea going out. This is almost 100% Amish run. Oh, no. How cool. I had an experience that I had never had before where I could sit all day long with the Amish and talk to them. And I had one guy, I pulled him aside. I said, dude, would you spend a lot of time with me? I just want to know about your culture. I think I know a lot of things, but I really want to know. It was the greatest thing. But being certain about my calling, so at one point, the guy that's running the thing says, hey, I need somebody to drive a car. He said, I need you to buzz out here to this farm for Merlin Yoder, I believe it was. You go out to Merlin Yoder's farm, and he says he needs three guys as soon as possible. And I said, okay, I'll do that. So I would raise my hand. He said, good. He said, you guys, all three of you, take off with Jeff. We'll get this stuff done. And so I hear in the background, yeah, you got to take along this infrared detector. It's going to pick up blood at night. They'd be able to see it. So I know it's all about this. So I go up to my car, and the guy says, hey, I'm here. I'm ready to go. And I said, okay. I said, where's the other two? He goes, right here. Everybody piles in my car. Down the road we go. We're blasting up through the country. My phone rings. My son-in-law says, hey, he says, the guys that you were supposed to take are back here. And I said, no. I said, I've got three guys, the three that said they were going with me in the car. No, Jeff. There's two guys sitting back here that thought they were supposed to go along. And I said, well, I can't get them in my car anyway. So I'm going on. If there's no other reason to turn around, I'm going on. And if they need to come along, let them come. I show up at the place. I pull in. This guy hops out of his pickup truck. After we wait about 5 minutes, he comes up and he says, so where's the infrared? And Mr. Miller says, well, I don't have it. He does. And the next guy goes, I don't. He does. And he's going, nobody said anything to me about taking that thing along. And here I stand, and the guy goes, well, you guys are worthless. I don't have what I need. He said, that's the whole purpose of why you came up here. He said, I need that infrared. And so we're stuck, and I'm like, well, maybe that had something to do with the two guys back there at the, maybe? So Jeff had a calling to do something. But I ran right out there in my haste to do good things. And in come some guys that just jump in. They just want to help. They're going to be a part of what's going on. They're all happy to be there. We make the determination. We run right into what's going on and get there and find out we're toolless. We have nothing. I can't help a soul. And not only that, but now if I'm going to be the deliverer, I got to drive 25 minutes back, pick it up, and come 25 minutes this way. And this poor guy's going, another hour? Here's a great example of running out when you're called to do something and not following directions close enough, not paying attention. So when the Lord calls you to do something, you better be praying and asking and listening so that you're doing the right thing, so that you don't do like Jeff did and you just jump with enthusiasm because, hey, I get to do something here and help out. And then it all turns out to be fruitless anyway. But there are many things in your life that the Lord would call you to do that don't seem like they make a whole lot of sense right up front. But in fact, if you'll step into that, He will strengthen you where you are weak. The only caveat to that is, know that the Lord is guiding you. Okay, take me to my next one. So again, we have Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened and that you would know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints? 2 Timothy 1:9. Okay, I'd like somebody. Anybody willing to read for me? No? No? No. I need some verses read. Mike, if you'll read 2 Timothy 1:7 through 11.
I don't need that.
You're recorded.
2 Timothy.
Okay, yeah, you're good right there.
Okay.
He was appointed a teacher, an apostle, and a teacher, and a preacher. That's the calling that we're talking about. For God didn't give you a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline, or a strong mind, sound mind. So what I'm trying to say here today is a lot of you have not walked in or stepped into wanting to know what the Lord's called you to do. He has a purpose. He has a wonderful purpose for you. I look at Ann and I think about what she does here. How many people in here would be willing to take on what she does in the body? Not me. How many people, Ann Lavender, how many people are willing to go and do what Denny does? No, that's not me. Somehow or another, way back in the very beginning, I thought that if I was going to be called to something, certainly it had to be to Africa, right?
Yeah.
You're all supposed to be missionaries in Africa, right? I was scared death of that thought. I thought, I don't even want to ask. God isn't going to ask you to do something that isn't in your nature, that when He strengthens, you're going to love beyond your wildest dreams. That's the fact of the matter. There is no fear to step out in what the Lord has for you to do. There should be no... He didn't give you a spirit of fear. Did He? But of love and of power and of a sound mind. Those three things put together, there's nothing you can't do in Him. There is something for everybody. There is a calling for you in your life. Let's go to the next slide. Here's the vocation. This is the one that really breaks it down into saying this is something He asks us to do. These two verses. So in Ephesians 4:1, therefore I, Paul talking of course, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. And that word, that is one of the times that the word vocation is meant. Worthy of the thing that you have been given assignment to do. That the Lord wants you to do. With which you have been called. Ephesians 4:11 and 12, and He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. What's the important part in that verse? What's the important part in that verse? Huh? You're called. What else? Is it the gifts? Huh? Yeah, it's not about, hey, I'm an evangelist. Hey, I'm a preacher or a teacher or, you know, what's the purpose of this? I'm a pastor. That's not the purpose of this verse. The purpose is, these are things given to you for the equipping of the saints for the work of good service. I have those. You have those for you. For Bob. For Talon. To equip the saints in the body for good works and good service. That's what we're doing here. That's what it's supposed to be about. Okay. In our weakness, he is made strong. So I'm going to end with that. Again, did I tell you this isn't condemnation? It isn't to make you look at yourself and feel bad about yourself. None of that. None of that. Everybody has to pick up a foot and step into the next thing the Lord's calling them to do. We should always be in that position where we're ready to step forward into the next thing that he would ask us to do. That's our whole life of service to him. Be ready. Be willing. Do it when he asks. I got called one time to be a youth. I think it was 5th, 6th, 7th grade. And to help out with that. And I really believe that that's what the Lord wanted me to do. My heart was there because I really liked kids that age. I got into it for about 2 months, and the lady that was leading it said, Jeff, the Lord told me that I need to tell you that you're able to be released. And I said, what? And I said, do you not want me here? She said, no, that's not the point. She said, I do want you here. But you need to know that you are able to be released because your heart, is it there? Is this really what you want to do? And you don't need to do this beyond the love of what the Lord has put in your heart to do. So in other words, Jeff was going, I don't know about this anymore. I'm not real sure. I had a love of kids, but this sure wasn't the way to vent it. And so she gave me that release, which I took and ran willingly. Said, this isn't me. This isn't for me. I love the youth. I love what's going on here when you're ministering to the youth. That's good, but you won't see me over there. Because I learned that that's an area that's not Jeff. That's not where my God-given abilities are. I'll just gladly support those who do. So with that, I want to offer an opportunity. There's a lot of people here that would love to pray. Uh-oh. I got just one more thing over here. Yes, ma'am. Come on. Mike, is that mic working? You got that? It's on? Okay. No. Here we go.
Okay, poor Jeff, as he was preparing this lesson, I bombarded him with many, many questions.
No way.
And the point is I kept thinking of everybody that says, well, I'm not called to be a pastor, a teacher, an apostle. We think of all those high things as being callings. And I'm like, but it says we're all called. So where does that fit in? You know, and so I think this morning or last night, I went to Matthew 28, where Jesus was telling his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He just said, go. Step out. Do it. He was talking about your passion and how you, God made him a hunter and fisher of men. Well, I'm a shy, quiet person. I don't like talking in front of people. And so in my case, God specifically told me, I don't keep my disciples in the cleft of the rock. There are times in our lives when we just need to be in the shelter while he heals us and ministers to us. But one time he said, I didn't put you in that cleft of the rock, that place of protection, to stay there. I'm not ministering to anybody. I'm not helping my brother and sister if I hide out. So he says, go. You just got to pick up that foot and step out. He keeps pulling me out of my comfort zones because I'm a really good hider, by the way. We were married 15 years, and they said, hey, they don't have any pictures of me, because as soon as I saw the camera, I'd hide. So I'm really good at it. But God says, this is what I created you to be. So then I went to Acts 1:7, where Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will. Sandy, you will receive the power. He doesn't ask us or tell us to do anything but what he enables.
Yeah, that's right.
So, like he had the epiphany with the youth, I had with the nursery.
That's convenient.
Yeah. But there are some of you that you need to step out, and sometimes it's going to be out of your comfort zone. But once I step out of my comfort zone, the Holy Spirit meets me there, and you let his love pour through you. That's the hope of the calling. You realize that you've been his hands, his feet, his voice, his heart.
So, you do have a calling. You do have a purpose. You do have a way that the Lord wants you to walk and a thing that he wants you to do. We're all given that opportunity. As different people in different areas doing different things, we are the body of Christ. I'm a little toe. I can't be an index finger. So with all that, as a unified body in him, we can accomplish great things. Through him, all of it. Through him and by his power and by his strength. Amy, would you come up? And so I want to offer the opportunity for a lot of you. Many of you, I'm sure, in here, have never even bothered to ask or cared to ask the Lord what you may be called to do or where he wants you to walk. Others in here have done that. You go, man, I haven't heard him. He's not really made anything clear to me. Some of you have had, you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And you may have laid it down for a time for a rest, and that's fine, as long as the Lord directs. Or maybe you just need to be walking in it again. Maybe you need to be encouraged to do that and to step out. Where the Lord is, there will be a lot of joy and happiness in doing that. So we're going to open the altar up for prayer. And Gary, would you come up too, Evelyn? And we'll just end it with that today. So thank you very much. All right, so if you want to come up, do. Where are you? Oh, boy. Yeah, you need healing, don't
you? Thank you.
We'll make you sing a song. To everybody else, if you don't need prayer, have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you. Father, I ask that you bless this church of yours, that you encourage, you put the thought in their minds that you have a plan. Father, I ask that you spur them, encourage them to find out what that is and to desire to walk in it and everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You call me out upon the waves, the great